Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, September 19th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
A last goodbye. Britain prepares for the funeral of Queen Elizabeth II. We are live in London with special coverage.
President Biden said U.S. forces would defend Taiwan if there was an unprecedented attack.
And the Fed, Bank of England, and Bank of Japan all make rate decisions this week.
The U.N. General Assembly is back in New York City, plus all of Puerto Rico is without power after Hurricane Fiona crashed to shore. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower. Big day in New York sports. Wins for the Jets, Giants, Mets, and Yankees. Aaron Judge homered twice to reach 59.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning. We're coming up to 501 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 32 points, Dow futures down 240, NASDAQ futures down 116. We are waiting for treasuries to begin trading today as markets in Japan and London are closed for holidays. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.5% at $1.25 at $83.86 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.75%. Or $12.40 at $16.71.10 an ounce. The euro 0.9977 against the dollar. Nathan.
Karen, we'll have more on the markets in a minute, but we begin this morning with the UK bidding farewell to its longest-serving monarch. Leaders from around the world today are gathered in London for the funeral of Queen Elizabeth II. Bloomberg's Leanne Garens is outside Westminster Abbey and brings us the very latest.
Global leaders and dignitaries are gathering in London for the state funeral of Queen Elizabeth II. Around 2,000 people will attend the service at Westminster Abbey, including Prince George and Princess Charlotte, who will walk alongside the Prince and Princess of Wales. The funeral will mark the end of 10 days of national mourning, during which hundreds of thousands of people queued to see Queen Elizabeth lying in state at Westminster Hall. The service will include a reading from the Prime Minister Liz Truss, the hymn Lord's My Shepherd, and the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, will give the sermon. On Sunday night, the UK held a moment of silence for the only monarch most of us have known. Her 70-year reign began with the UK's recovery after World War II and ended with the appointment of her 15th Prime Minister. Queen Elizabeth II ascended to the throne in 1952 and died at the age of 96. In Westminster Abbey, I'm Leanne Gerrans, Bloomberg. Daybreak.
Leanne, thank you. And we will be live from Westminster Abbey throughout the morning here on Bloomberg Daybreak. Join us for live coverage of the Queen's funeral coming up less than an hour from now.
Well, Nathan, President Biden is among the dignitaries at today's state funeral. But before he left for London, the president gave a wide-ranging interview to CBS's 60 Minutes. He addressed recent tensions with China over Taiwan.
There's a one-China policy, and Taiwan makes their own judgments about their independence. We are not moving. We're not encouraging them being independent. We're not. That's their decision.
But would U.S. forces defend the island?
Yes, if in fact there was an unprecedented attack.
The president also says the pandemic is over, while warning the U.S. still faces problems with COVID. Correspondent Scott Pelley also confronted the president about inflation.
It's the highest inflation rate, Mr. President, in 40 years.
I got that. But guess what we are? We're in a position where for the last several months, it hasn't spiked. It has just barely, it's been basically even.
President Biden also called it totally irresponsible for former President Trump to keep classified documents at his home in Florida and said he'll decide after the midterms whether he'll run for re-election. Our listeners in Washington can hear 60 Minutes every Sunday night at 10 on Bloomberg 99.1.
Turning to markets now, Karen, U.S. futures are lower once again as we begin a new trading week. The S&P 500 is coming off a loss of almost 5% last week, while two-year Treasury yields enter the day at 3.87%. Brian Rayling is head of global fixed income strategy at Wells Fargo Investment Institute.
Yeah, well, the fixed income market's been giving alarm bells here since June with the yield curve inverted. And, you know, that inversion maintains itself If you look at just twos to tens, almost 40 basis points inverted there. So it's saying that rough times ahead for the economy.
Wells Fargo's Brian Railing thinks the Fed will eventually win its fight against inflation.
Well, Nathan, we're also seeing weakness this morning in Asia. Chinese stocks listed in Hong Kong are in a bear market territory. Beijing's COVID zero strategy and a property market slump are dampening sentiment. Losses for the Hang Seng China Enterprises Index have now reached 20%, a level that marks the start of a bear market.
Well, the direction of markets this week, Karen, may well be determined by some key policy decisions around the world. The Fed leads the parade in the coming days. We get a preview from Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee.
Interest rates lead the news this week, with 12 central banks set to change policy on Wednesday and Thursday. The Fed, the Bank of England, and the Swiss National Bank are the biggest, and the most market attention will be on the Fed. U.S. policymakers are forecast to raise the U.S. benchmark interest rate by 0.75 percentage point to a range between 3% and 3.25%. In the U.K., forecasters think the bank will raise that nation's base rate by 0.5% to 2.25%, but still rising inflation has some betting the BOE will raise by 0.75 quarters. Switzerland is forecast to see its benchmark turn positive, rising to 0.5% from a negative 0.25%. Back in the U.S., the week is light on economic data, with housing starts on Tuesday and jobless claims Thursday the major numbers. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mike, thank you. The White House, of course, will be closely watching this week's Fed decision. Economic advisor Jared Bernstein says even though inflation is uncomfortably high, the Fed has helped to cool the housing market.
We know that the Federal Reserve is in a hiking cycle to try to dampen those inflationary pressures, as they should be. We know that's cooling off an overheated housing market.
And White House economic advisor Jared Bernstein made the comments on Fox News Sunday. Catch the program every week on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, the prospect of higher interest rates is affecting cryptocurrencies this morning. Bitcoin is on the verge of sinking to its lowest level since 2020. Right now, Bitcoin's trading at about $18,430. S&P futures are down 30 points. Dow futures down 226. And NASDAQ futures are lower by 107 points. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. And it's 5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 71 degrees in Central Park. We got an accident investigation closed to the northbound Connecticut Turnpike between exits 8 and 9. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The United Nations General Assembly is back in Manhattan. And since COVID restrictions have eased, it will mean the return of gridlock alerts. According to the NYPD, it will be the largest UN General Assembly in recent years, as the city will welcome about 140 heads of state. The police say that there is no threat. However, thousands of officers will be on UN patrol. This weekend, more buses dump migrants in northern cities, buses that arrived unannounced, sent mostly by the Texas governor. More buses of migrants and asylum seekers arrived in New York City. Mayor Eric Adams is begging for a heads up and to work with Texas Governor Greg Abbott.
We're sending them on a 45-hour ride without any proper food, water, or medical care. We reached out and stated that let's coordinate and work together so we can deal with this crisis together. They refused to do so.
Mayor Adams spoke on ABC's This Week, which can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg. Meanwhile, Republican Florida Governor Ron DeSantis slammed the number of migrants crossing the southern border while praising flying 50 migrants from Texas unannounced to Martha's Vineyard and dropping them in the sanctuary jurisdiction.
They said they're a sanctuary city. They say that nobody, no human being is illegal. Everyone's welcome.
Governor DeSantis traveled to Green Bay, Wisconsin yesterday to stump for Republicans in tight election races. Beyond Martha's Vineyard, migrants are also being sent to Chicago and Washington, D.C. Hurricane Fiona is bearing down on the Dominican Republic after knocking out the power grid and unleashing floods and landslides in Puerto Rico, where the governor said the damage was catastrophic. Governor Pedro Pierluisi says although Fiona is nowhere near as fierce as 2017's Hurricane Maria, which killed nearly 3,000 people there, the island's emergency response units are taking no chances.
We're in a much better position than we were 5 years ago.
The storm is forecast to unleash torrential rain across Puerto Rico today, according to Governor Pelosi. A new NBC poll shows President Biden's approval rating is at 45%. That's the highest since October. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshauer.
Good morning, Nathan. A day in New York sports unlike any since 2009. The Jets, Giants, Mets, and Yankees all won, none more surprisingly than the Jets. They had lost 13 in a row in September. They trailed in Cleveland by 13 with less than 2 minutes to play. Suddenly, a Joe Flacco 66-yard touchdown pass to Corey Davis, a recovery of an onside kick, and a game-winning TD.
25 seconds to go. The Jets down by six. Flacco takes the shotgun snap and drops. Looks up the seam. Fires. Caught. Touchdown. Garrett Wilson scores. The Jets are a point after away from taking the lead.
On ESPN 98.7, Jets 31, Browns 30. Giants are 2-0. Graham Gano kicked four field goals. The last was 56 yards. 3.5 minutes to go. Giants beat Carolina at MetLife 19-16. The only other 2-0 teams are Tampa Bay, Miami, and Kansas City. Last night, Green Bay beat Chicago. Big injury yesterday. 49ers quarterback Trey Lance hurt his ankle, done for the year. So Jimmy Garoppolo, who the Niners decided to keep as a backup, gets his old job back. Yankees able to salvage one in Milwaukee. They trailed early but won 12-8. They hit five home runs. Anthony Rizzo in his return to the lineup. Aaron Hicks, rookie Oswaldo Cabrera, and yes, two more for Aaron Judge. Solo shot to right field in the third inning. Solo shot to left in the seventh. He's hit 59 homers. 16 games left. Judge only two away from tying Roger Maris. Mets finished a four-game sweep with the Pirates 7-3. The Mets used four pitchers. They combined for 20 strikeouts. That ties the single-game MLB record. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. Right now, S&P futures are down 30 points. Dow futures down 228, and NASDAQ futures are lower by 107 points. U.S. Treasuries trading is on hold for holidays in Japan and in the U.K. ahead of the state funeral of Queen Elizabeth II. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, increasing clouds today. Some showers and thundershowers developing this afternoon. Highs in the upper or the mid-80s. We'll be in the low 80s under sunshine tomorrow and Wednesday. Right now, 71 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and stocks are lower in a cautious start to the day as investors await a slew of interest rate decisions in the days ahead and after global equities notched their worst week since hitting this year's low in June. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, futures are lower. S&P futures down 34 points, Dow futures down 256, and NASDAQ futures down 118. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. We're waiting for treasuries to begin trading today as markets in Japan and London are closed. The NYMEX crude oil is down 1.5% on $1.31 at $83.80 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.7% or $11.20 at $16.72.30 an ounce. The euro 0.9976 against the dollar. The yen 143.45. And looking at Bitcoin, it's down almost 7%. It's at $18,400. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. Today is the state funeral for Queen Elizabeth II. Millions will say a final goodbye. President Biden and the First Lady are in London for the funeral. And, of course, you'll hear the funeral live on Bloomberg starting around 6 a.m. All of Puerto Rico is without power after Hurricane Fiona crashed ashore Sunday. The storm hit the island as a Category 1 hurricane. In the NFL, the Giants and Jets won. The Patriots and 49ers were also winners. The Ravens lost. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Brewers 12-8. Aaron Judge hit his 58th and 59th home runs of the season to move within two of Roger Maris's American League record. The Mets won along with the Orioles, the Nationals, A's, and Giants lost. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. It is 519 on Wall Street, 1019 in London, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And this morning, the dignitaries are arriving, including leaders from around the world, for the culmination of more than a week of official mourning for Queen Elizabeth II. Let's go live to Westminster Abbey ahead of the Queen's state funeral. Bloomberg's Leanne Gerrans is there with the very latest. Leanne, just an incredible scene we're watching along with you. Can you sort of set it for us and what we're expecting when this state funeral begins in the next hour?
Good morning to you, Nathan. And as you said, an incredible scene. Most of the seats of Westminster Abbey are now filling up as the world prepares to say their final goodbye to Queen Elizabeth, the UK's longest serving monarch. We actually just saw the beast drive past us about 10 minutes ago. We now know that the US President Joe Biden has taken his seat inside of the Abbey ahead of the funeral that does begin at 11 o'clock. And a little earlier, we saw a military parade that was taking place, a procession that was moving down to make its way towards Westminster Hall. Now, that is where the Queen has been lying in state for the last 4.5 days. And we will see members of the Royal Marines actually pull her coffin towards Westminster Abbey. The carriage will be on top of that, and it will be 8 minutes to the Abbey.
It sounds so peaceful from where you are, and I think I can just make out the tolling of the bell. I'd heard that they're ringing the bell at Westminster Abbey once every minute for 96 minutes to mark each year of the Queen's life. Just describe for us what it's like, what it's been like to be in London over the last week when we've seen just this incredible outpouring of public grief for the Queen.
One thing that has been momentous has been the queue that we've seen. We've just seen hundreds of thousands of people queue up to view the Queen lying in state in Westminster Hall. And on the very first day that queue began, Nathan, I actually went to go and speak to people, and they said to me, we've got 4 hours in the queue. That's nothing compared to the 70 years Queen Elizabeth dedicated to us. On the last day, I've been standing outside as the last people made their way through that viewing hall to see the Queen lying in state. And they said to me, we've been here for 15 hours, but it was still worth it. So this outpouring of love that we have seen. And about 2 million people are predicted to line the streets of London today to pay their final respects to the Queen. And this is going to be a huge operation for the police here in London. The Metropolitan Police had locked down this area in the last half an hour, as we do see what they're calling this ring of steel now surrounding the Abbey and monuments here in London, because we've got so many dignitaries, foreign leaders and foreign royals, and of course our very own royal family.
Yeah, I was going to say that with so many world leaders gathered there, I'd seen one headline describing it as almost a quasi UN General Assembly that was still getting underway in New York. But with so many leaders now there to pay their respects to Queen Elizabeth, I have to imagine that this is just an incredible security event, if not just a moment of grief for this country.
Well, this is probably the biggest security event we've ever seen here. And that's something that the London Mayor Sadiq Khan has said. He said it surpasses the 2012 Olympic Games that were held here in London. And it is also bigger than the Platinum Jubilee, which was just 3 months ago. And Kate and William's wedding was a huge event in London. I remember going out on the streets. But this is all of that wrapped into one. Tens of thousands of police officers are on the ground. Nathan, I can't tell you how many police officers I can see as I sit here, and we are waiting for the Queen to be moved to Westminster Abbey. There's helicopters flying overhead, and it's just a remarkable moment for the police team in London. They have orchestrated this for years in the making. And we also have a lot of the armed forces on the street. And every single police force from across the country have gathered together and are working together to make this as safe as possible.
an incredible undertaking that gets underway in just a little more than a half hour's time, with the dignitaries now pretty much in their seats now, and we await the procession of Queen Elizabeth to Westminster Abbey for that state funeral. Stay with Bloomberg Daybreak. We will be bringing you special extended coverage of the Queen's funeral right here on Bloomberg Radio. Ahead of that, it's just about 5:25 on Wall Street. We want to turn to the markets, get you set for this new trading week. For that, we're joined by Lori Calvasina, head of U.S. equity strategy at RBC Capital Markets. Lori, great to speak with you as always. Of course, a lot of the focus this week is going to be on what the central banks do, particularly the Federal Reserve, as we watch stocks around the world continue to fall.
At Westminster Abbey.
What we can expect today is the Queen will be escorted, the coffin draped in the royal standard, carried on the state gun carriage. The Royal Marines will lead that procession around Parliament Square, behind senior members of the royal family, including her children and the King. The procession will enter the Great West Door of the Abbey at exactly 11 o'clock, and that will mark the start of the funeral.
Bloomberg's Leanne Gerrans will be with us live all morning, and stay with us for special coverage of the Queen's funeral in just a few minutes right here on Bloomberg Daybreak.
Karen, President Biden is among the dignitaries attending the state funeral, but before he left for London, the president gave a wide-ranging interview to CBS's Scott Pelley on 60 Minutes. They discussed recent tensions with China over Taiwan.
Would U.S. forces defend the island?
Yes, if in fact there was an unprecedented attack.
Well, afterwards, a White House official said U.S. policy of strategic ambiguity regarding Taiwan hasn't changed. President Biden also talked about his intention to run for president again in 2024.
But it's just an intention. But is it a firm decision that I run again? That remains to be seen.
The president says the decision on that will come after November's midterms. The president also made news saying he expects the U.S. to control inflation and avoid a recession. He also thinks the COVID-19 pandemic is over. Bloomberg listeners in Washington can hear 60 Minutes every Sunday night at 10 on Bloomberg 99.1.
Well, we turn to the markets now, Nathan, and U.S. futures are lower as we begin a new trading week. The S&P 500 is coming off a loss of almost 5% last week, and we're seeing weakness in Asia with Chinese stocks listed in Hong Kong in bear market territory.
Well, this week's big market moving event comes Wednesday, Karen. That is when we get the Federal Reserve's latest policy decision. Chairman Jay Powell is expected to raise interest rates by either 75 or 100 basis points.
And the prospect of higher rates is impacting cryptocurrencies this morning, Nathan. Bitcoin's on the verge of sinking to its lowest level since 2020. And checking Bitcoin right now, it is moving lower. It's down more than 6.5%. It's at $18,400. And again, futures are also lower. S&P futures down 37 points. Dow futures down 281. And NASDAQ futures down 127. The DAX in Germany is down 0.9%. And the CAC in Paris is down 1.6%. NYMEX crude oil lower, down about 2%. It's down $1.68 at $83.43 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.75% on $12.80 at $16.70 an ounce. We are waiting for treasuries to begin trading today as markets in Japan and London are closed. Taking a look at currencies, the euro at 0.9973 against the dollar, British pound 1.1365, and the yen at 143.46. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. We're at 71 degrees in Central Park. Still dealing with the accident investigation in Stamford. Northbound Connecticut Turnpike closed at exit 8. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The United Nations General Assembly is back in Manhattan. And since COVID restrictions have eased, it will mean the return of gridlock alerts. According to the NYPD, it will be the largest UN General Assembly in recent years, and the city will welcome about 140 heads of state. Police say there is no threat. However, thousands of officers will be on UN patrol. The border crisis reaching national headlines last week when Florida Governor Ron DeSantis chartered two planes The shuttle migrants from Texas to Martha's Vineyard, with many of those people saying they had not been told where they were heading. In the past weeks, Texas Governor Greg Abbott sends busloads of migrants on nearly two-day bus trips to New York City without notice or coordination to officials there. New York City Mayor Eric Adams says the city will always be willing to help new arrivals pursue the American dream, but slam the Republican governor's tactics.
That is what crisis calls for. It calls for coordination. There was no coordination at all with Governor Abbott, and Governor DeSantis just wanted to use this political ploy instead of understanding these are people, these are families, these are human beings.
Mayor Adams spoke on ABC's This Week, which can be heard Sundays on Bloomberg. All of Puerto Rico is without power after Hurricane Fiona crashed ashore Sunday. The storm hit the island as a Category 1 hurricane. President Biden declared a state of emergency in Puerto Rico. President Biden's approval rating hit 45% in a new NBC poll. That's a three-point increase over an August survey. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says there would be no let-up after a series of Ukrainian victories taking cities and towns back from Russian troops. Zelensky said there would be no lull until all of Ukraine is freed. Meanwhile, Russian shelling hit cities and towns across a wide stretch of Ukraine over the weekend. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. So far, so good. In the Brian Daboll era, the Giants and their new coach are 2-0. A Daniel Jones TD pass, four Graham Gano field goals, a 19-16 win at MetLife over Carolina. Thrilling win for the Jets, the first team in 21 years to win despite trailing by two touchdowns with 2 minutes to play. Joe Flacco, a 66-yard TD pass to Corey Davis after the recovery of an onside kick. Flacco threw the game winner to rookie Garrett Wilson, and the Jets won in Cleveland 31-30, ending their 13-game September losing streak. Not the only comeback. Miami trailed in Baltimore by three touchdowns in the fourth quarter and rallied to win as Tua Tagovailoa threw six TD passes. Arizona trailed in Vegas by 16 in the fourth. The Cardinals tied the game on the final play of regulation and won in overtime on a 59-yard fumble return. At Citi Field, Jacob deGrom got 15 outs. 13 were strikeouts. Mets beat the Pirates 7-3. They tied a major league record, a combined 20 strikeouts in the game. In Milwaukee, a big day in the pursuit of Roger Maris.
The 2-0 swung on and hit in the air to deep right center field. It is high. It is far. It is gone. In the second deck. That is a Judgian blast. Number 58 on the year as he gets closer to the American League record.
And WFAN and later Aaron Judge homered again. Yankees beat the Brewers 12-8, and Judge now with 59 homers comes home for the next six games, just two away from Maris. John Stashower with Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Almost 3 years after COVID rocked New York's real estate industry, it's starting to recover. The Times reports a glut of luxury condos that saturated the Manhattan market before the pandemic has largely been sold. Sale and rental prices have exceeded 2019 levels, with rents continuing to break records. Good news for Manhattan office landlords. Physical building occupancy went up nearly 47% for the week ending September 14th, according to the Castle Systems Back-to-Work Barometer. The post-Labor Day jump was a huge increase over Castle's tally of 38% from the previous week. Home health aides and their advocates are pushing the New York City Council to pass legislation to restrict their hours, a move that's facing pushback from the union that represents them. The bill would limit a home care aide's shift to 12 hours. At your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report, I'm Ed Corey.
Thank you, Ed. It is 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potusk on 1010 Winds in New York. We're talking about a hacker release of what looks like early footage of the much-anticipated Grand Theft Auto 6.
I'm Courtney Dunahoe on KTRH in Houston. More consumers are saddled with credit card debt for longer periods of time.
I'm Ann Cateson on WBZ in Boston. I'll be reporting on the Fed's likely interest rate move.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WFLA in Orlando, I'm reporting that Disney has released data on employee pay by race and gender for the first time.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting an area contractor for Amazon will lay off 145 employees.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. By almost any measure, the U.S. remains in the grip of a gun violence epidemic. Since the beginning of the year, more than 30,000 Americans have died from firearms, and nearly as many have been wounded. Despite such grim figures, President Joe Biden's administration is making quiet, consequential progress on gun safety. In June, he signed the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act, the first significant gun reform legislation in a generation. And building on that breakthrough, the administration is now cracking down on another growing threat, ghost guns. Working with members of both parties, Biden has made steady, incremental headway toward common sense reforms. Sustaining that momentum is critical to sparing the country further bloodshed and loss. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or O-P-I-N, go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at O-P-I-N, go. Right now, S&P futures are down 36 points. Dow futures down 268. NASDAQ futures are lower by 117 points. When Treasury's trading resumes, following the state funeral of the Queen, the two-year yield will be at 3.86%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, increasing clouds, some showers and thundershowers developing this afternoon with a high near 85 degrees. Will be mostly sunny, low 80s tomorrow and Wednesday. Right now, 71 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are lower this morning with S&P futures down 37 points, Dow futures down 286, and NASDAQ futures down 123. The DAX in Germany is down 0.9%. We continue to wait for treasuries to begin trading today as markets in Japan and London are closed. NYMEX crude oil down 1.8% on $1.56 at $83.55 a barrel, and COMEX gold down 0.7% or $11.80 at $16.71.70 an ounce. Looking at Bitcoin this morning, lower at $18,430. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Darren, thank you very much. Britain and the world are laying Queen Elizabeth II to rest at a state funeral that is drawing presidents and kings, princes, and prime ministers. It is the first state funeral since Winston Churchill's. Bloomberg will have more on the Queen's funeral coming up in minutes. Hurricane Fiona is bearing down on the Dominican Republic after knocking out the power grid and unleashing floods and landslides in Puerto Rico, where the governor said the damage was catastrophic. President Joe Biden said U.S. military forces would defend Taiwan from an unprecedented attack. His latest pledge of support as his administration seeks to deter China from increasing military pressure on the democratically elected government in Taipei. In the NFL, the Giants and Jets won. The Patriots and 49ers were also winners. The Ravens lost. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Brewers 12-8. Aaron Judge hit his 58th and 59th home runs of the season to move within two of Roger Maris' American League record. The Mets won along with the Orioles. The Nationals, A's, and Giants lost. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
This is Bloomberg Radio, where we turn our attention now to live coverage of the funeral for Queen Elizabeth II. We are just a few minutes away from the culmination of more than a week of national mourning for the Queen. The state funeral begins next hour for Britain's longest reigning monarch. Let's bring in Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchors Caroline Hepker and Stephen Carroll, who will anchor our special coverage of the service at Westminster Abbey, which is getting underway in just a few minutes here, Caroline and Stephen. But right now we are watching this extraordinary procession of military and the royal family themselves with the Queen's coffin on the gun carriage making its way to Westminster Abbey.
Good morning, Nathan. Yes, you join us for a once-in-a-generation event. This is the state funeral of Queen Elizabeth II. And as you say, the most spectacular sight, the procession of Queen Elizabeth's coffin from Westminster Hall to Westminster Abbey, which has begun on this gun carriage draped with the royal standard, with flowers, the auburn sceptre, and topped with the imperial state crown.
The carriage itself, 123 years old, being pulled by 98 members of the Royal Navy. This is a procession route which is being lined by Royal Navy and Royal Marines. The Brigade of Gurkhas are there, the Royal Air Force, 200 musicians, and the King's bodyguard, as they now are, the Yeomen of the Guard, often known as the Beefeaters, lining this extraordinary procession through central London. A short journey, only 8 minutes from Westminster Hall and the Palace of Westminster, the home of course, the House of Commons and the House of Lords, to Westminster Abbey, where the state funeral will take place.
Well, behind the coffin, we also see King Charles III and the Queen's three other children, her grandchildren, including Princes William and Harry and other members of the royal family. In the background, you can hear Westminster Abbey, the bell being tolled 96 times in commemoration of the Queen's life.
The beat being played by the musicians in this drum, a special 75 beats per minute to ensure the correct pace during this procession. A remarkable scene in central London to see this members of all of the branches of the military taking part in this section of the Queen's final journey.
Well, the service will begin in just a few minutes' time in Westminster Abbey. Of course, a hugely historic landmark in Britain. This is the place where virtually all the kings and queens of England have been crowned, where the Queen herself was married, and where the coronation took place in 1953. Now, during that service, we have a host of dignitaries. We have seen the US President and many other leaders, including the British Prime Minister, enter. And the Dean of Westminster, the very Reverend David Hoyle, is the person who is leading today's service.
We are meant to be seeing something and hearing something. It isn't a performance. What we are trying to do, not just in the Abbey but on the streets of the city, is to provide a focus for all that emotion that's out there at the moment.
So that was the Dean of Westminster, the very Reverend David Hoyle. So at the start of the service, we will hear the choir of Westminster Abbey. They will sing lines from the scriptures. But before that moment, we're still watching the procession of the gun carriage and the coffin to the gates of Westminster Abbey.
During this service, the Secretary General of the Commonwealth, Patricia Scotland, and the UK's Prime Minister, Liz Truss, will read lessons from Scripture. The Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, will then deliver the sermon at Her Majesty's funeral. Here he is talking about the funeral earlier today.
I feel very privileged to be there. Not pleased to be there, because we would all prefer that this had not happened, but we're all going to miss and grieve for the Queen. It's a huge privilege to be able to take part in this. Focused on the family first, because this is a family saying goodbye at a funeral to someone they loved.
That was the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby. The funeral marks the end of 10 days of national mourning, during which hundreds of thousands of people queued up to 17 hours to see Queen Elizabeth lying in state at Westminster Hall.
Well, Reverend Marjorie Brown, the vicar of St Mary's the Virgin Church in Primrose Hill and also a prebendary of St Paul's Cathedral, was in the procession of reflection for the Queen the day after she died. And she joined us earlier on Bloomberg Radio to talk to us about the order of service. She said that the service that we will see at Westminster Abbey will speak to both tradition but also to the modern world.
It's a service, a Christian funeral, as it would be for anyone in many respects. We know it will all be in the traditional language of the prayer book, which the Queen always favored. Looking through the order of service, I was very struck by how many British composers will have their music as part of the service, including two pieces by James McMillan and Judith Weir, which were composed especially for this service. I was also struck by how many women will have speaking parts in the service. We have the Prime Minister, the Secretary General of the Commonwealth, and of course the Lord Bishop of London, all of whom are women. That's quite a change from the last state funeral in 1952. There will also be participation by leaders of many other churches, not just Anglican, but also Roman Catholic and Pentecostal and Free Churches, and the Church of Scotland, of course. So there'll be a very wide representation of people across the nation in this service today.
That was Reverend Marjorie Brown speaking to us earlier about the service. And now the gun carriage with the Queen's coffin has arrived outside the Abbey. We can listen in to some of the sounds of the music playing in the background.
And this is a moment of silent reflection. If we see those 98 members of the Royal Navy who pulled the gun carriage from Westminster Hall to Westminster Abbey, now bowing their heads as the Queen's coffin is removed from the gun carriage and carried into Westminster Abbey. This is a solemn moment in the procession, a part of this long journey that the Queen's remains have today. From Westminster Hall, where she's been lying in state since Wednesday night, now to Westminster Abbey, and a journey that will end in Windsor Castle later today.
Thousands of people have lined the streets of these processional routes in central London all the way out to Windsor Castle. We've also seen, of course, the entrance of Britain's current and former prime ministers who are in the congregation, starting with John Major, Gordon Brown, Tony Blair, the current Prime Minister, Liz Truss, all inside Westminster Abbey, along with the US President Joe Biden, the First Lady Jill Biden, the French President Emmanuel Macron. We've seen so many royals, dignitaries, global leaders enter the Abbey.
There are 2,000 people in the Abbey for this service, among them some of those names that Caroline mentioned, but this is the start of what will be this state funeral, as we see the coffin now being slowly and meticulously carried towards the front door of Westminster Abbey.
And so in just a few moments' time, we will begin the service, of course, for Britain's longest serving monarch. We're watching the pictures live, and Leanne Gerrans, who has been covering the mourning period and indeed the state funeral throughout the days, joins us now live from Westminster. Good morning, Leanne. You've just been watching live the coffin of Queen Elizabeth II being processed from Westminster Hall to the Abbey. You've been watching that procession.
Caroline, we heard the bagpipes start playing, and then we saw the procession coming along, and it was probably one of the most